Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, quick history question for you here. I'll get a little feedback from the group. If I say the words Jan Hus, or it could be also translated John Huss, who's ever heard of him? Who's ever heard? Two. All right. Okay. That's probably about right. Now, if I say the words Martin Luther, have you ever heard of him? Come on now. I know more of you heard Martin Luther. Okay, there we go. All right. Now, Hus and Luther are about 100 years apart. About 100 years apart. And they had the same similar grievances with the church. All right? And it was essentially, and they're both priests. And their grievance was essentially, Rome, explain to me how you get to some of the places you get to. Never heard of Jan Hus. You've heard of Martin Luther. Something happened in between that Martin Luther took full advantage of. Mainz, Germany, mid 15th century, there was an invention of something. What was it? Okay, now they're in my class, so they. Right, there was an invention of the printing press. Jan Hus had his questions and delivered them to Rome in a very private manner, much sort of between him and the leadership in Rome. And they asked him to go to Switzerland and said, we'll send you a safe passage to Switzerland. And when he got there, he repeated what he had said, and they found what he had said so abhorrent, so distasteful, that they killed him. They executed him. They burned him at the stake for heresy. Now, in the middle there, in Mainz, Germany, there's the invention of the printing press. Now, Martin Luther had the same observations that Hus had, that John Huss had, but he had the printing press. And he knew exactly how to make this printing press work for him. He would deliver a sermon on Sunday morning there to his congregation in Germany, or at least what is now Germany. And he would deliver it in German, and then by Monday morning, there would be a pamphlet on Monday morning, which in those days was light speed, and he would have this pamphlet of his sermon for the people to read. And so people who had not been there to hear the sermon could hear it and could hear this dialogue that was going on. And he was using the pulpit to ask the question of who died and made Rome God? Okay, that's essentially the question he was asking. Now, the observation that I wanted to focus on a little bit today was not so much about what would Jesus say about Twitter, but I'm going to get there. I will use Twitter as an example of how we might want to have a conversation. But I'm not sure that Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, all of these other things that are out there in order for us to be in conversation with the community isn't its own equivalent, or at least in some way an idea similar to what the printing press was for Martin Luther. Okay, Martin Luther could have sat there and said, you know, there's nothing about the printing press in the Bible. And, you know, I'm not going to use the printing press in order to extend God's word. And I think we would then, if he had taken that approach, we probably would have been asked the question of, who's heard of Jan Hus? Nobody. Who's heard of Martin Luther? We would have probably been nobody. All right? And who's to say that we wouldn't have, that John Calvin, who had a corresponding movement originating over in the French-speaking portion of the European continent, that we wouldn't have heard of him either. Now, what I want to do is I want to go to Twitter for a second and offer you some understanding of what Twitter is. I mean, my guess is most of us here have no idea what Twitter is. Am I right? Is that a fair statement? Okay. Twitter is a way for us to share information back and forth with each other. It's different than Facebook. Okay, it's different than Facebook. Facebook I got on Facebook quite reluctantly about 2009, have found it to be quite valuable in the way I share information about what's going on in my life. I'm not one of those that literally tells you, I'm going to the bathroom. It was a good experience. You know, and there are people out there that do that, by the way. But what Twitter is that it's a very concise format, all right? It's limited to 140 characters. And I confess to you, sometimes I sit there and count the number of letters in my tweets, which is what you call a transmission on Twitter. It's a tweet, okay, to tweet. I tweet, you tweet, he, she, it tweets, we tweet, they tweet. Okay, anyway, I'm a repressed English major. Okay, anyway. It's very compressed in its style. It compels you to boil everything you're going to say down into 140 characters. It's the way it operates. Okay? And what most of us use Twitter for is to sort of take it and point back somewhere else. I do a lot of links with Twitter. I will sit there and say, this is an article I read in the New York Times. You might want to read this too. Or I read this article in the Wall Street Journal, you might want to read this too. Or this article in Ministry Matters was important to me, I thought there were some good points here, you might want to glance at this. And so consequently, I use it to sort of point back to other things that are going on in the rest of the electronic medium called the internet. That's generally what I use it for. And most of the people that I follow use it the same way. Now, follow is another concept that we have in the Twitterverse, in the Twitter universe. And it says that these 500 people that I follow are important to me, and I want to have something, I want what they say, I want to pay attention to what's going on there with that. And it includes like Barry Welliver, who worships at the Second Service. But it's the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Ministry Matters. There's things that are Methodist that are on there. The Bishop Elaine, who's going to be here on April the 19th, she has a tweet. And so I see these things go by, and periodically in the course of a day, I sit there and watch these things. And there are people who follow me. When I post things out there, they see things that happen, and they say, okay, Dennis Shaw has thought this is important, and we maybe ought to read it, maybe ought to glance at this. All right? And the last concept that I want to deal with, actually, two concepts I want to deal with. One is called a retweet, which is where I sit there and I read an article hypothetically from Alan. I read Alan has said something, and I say, this is really valuable, and so I send it out to my people, out to the people who are following me. That makes sense? All right. And then the last thing has to do with what's called a hashtag. If you look on the front of your bulletin here, it says Hilltop hashtag is #H2UMC. Now, to understand hashtag is that I think it's critical for us to step back a little bit and remember what I talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago, where I talked about silo thinking. And for those of you that were not here that day, my theme was about how we get into a world where we only talk to ourselves or only talk to us others that are like-minded. We get very individualistic. Next week I'm going to talk about being purple, and I'm not literally talking about Advent or Lent. I'm going to be talking about trying to get out of this world of being blue and red in the political world and trying to be an equal opportunity reflector, an equal opportunity abuser. Now, what you've got going on, if you're not careful in some of this world of tweeting, is that you will get yourself lined up. If you're a person who reads the Huffington Post on a regular basis, that's a very liberal magazine, very liberal newspaper, okay, very liberal newspaper. And the beauty of hashtagging is you can sit there and say, you start to get out of your silo. You start to get out of your silo in such a way that you see ideas that other people have that may not necessarily agree with you. The dilemma you've got with tweeting, the dilemma you've got with Facebook, the dilemma you've got with Pinterest, the dilemma you've got with fill in the blank of what social media you may be following, is that you end up talking only to yourself and only people that are like-minded. That's one of the dilemmas you have with that. And the beauty of what's called hashtagging is you put inside your tweet this little #, whatever it is you want to talk about. One that I regularly look at is #UMC, # United Methodist Church. And it tells me all the tweets that have gone on in chronological order, okay, in the last period of time. If the State of the Union address, the people would put in pound sign S-O-T-U. They put that in there, and you could sit there and read these reflections from people that were both liberals and conservatives. It was a way of getting out of your silo. Does that make sense? Now, you may ask the question, what on the earth does this have to do with Christianity on a Sunday morning in February when I could be out skiing somewhere or hiking or playing with my dog or whatever? I think Jesus would invite us to be able to operate in a minimalist, in a compressed, in a dehydrated kind of fashion. Jesus was being asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? One of the standard jokes in the Jewish world is that somebody comes and asks a rabbi, why does a rabbi always answer a question with a question? And his answer is, why shouldn't a rabbi answer a question with a question? All right? Henry Kissinger once made a joke, yes, it's great to be in Israel, a nation of 3 million people and 6 million opinions. Jesus is being asked a question. He's saying, what's the greatest commandment? There's about 612 that were out there at the time, 365 of which were negative. And Jesus has got a chance to sit there and say, you know, I think maybe this is the greatest commandment. And being Jewish, he doesn't give them one answer, he gives them two. He gives them two answers, all right? And it's a way of understanding that there is a distilled message behind Jesus. A distilled message, a compressed 140 character equivalent idea of what Jesus has got to say. And what does he say? He points back to Deuteronomy 6 and Leviticus 19 something. Okay? That's what he does. So he's basically saying, yes, there is a compressed message. Yes, there is a minimalist message. Yes, there is a 140 character equivalent of how it is that you follow. And this is what it is. You go back to Deuteronomy 6, 4, Leviticus 19. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The Shema. Or, you also go back to Leviticus 19 and you love your fellow human creature as you would love yourself. That's the distilled message. And Jesus was not unique in this. There were rabbis at the time who would indeed offer the same observation. There was some. I mean, can you stand on one foot and explain to me the Torah? One rabbi would say, it's impossible, absolutely impossible. And another rabbi would stand on one foot and he would recite back this Deuteronomy 6:4, this Leviticus 19 passage, and put his foot back down and say, all the rest of the Bible is commentary. All the rest of the Bible is commentary. Can you see how in the Twitter understanding, he has taken what is a very complex set of material here, and he's boiled it down to two simple principles. And that's the way sort of the Twitterverse operates. And I would say to you that Jesus would like the idea of being able to distill, to boil yourself down, to bring yourself down to a central core idea. And what is he saying? He's saying, I'm a follower. I follow. For all those out there that are following me around, I follow the Torah. The Torah is important to me. Because what does he do? He points back to Deuteronomy. Points back to Leviticus. Over and over and over again, whenever Jesus is interrogated about what it is he believes, he doesn't make up things out of whole cloth. He points back to where he comes from. What's his base of operations? And he says this in a world where there are people who listen to him. They are his followers, and they take that. Now, the dilemma you have with sermons, and to some extent that's what Luther was dealing with, is that sermons are monologues. Sermons, by their very definition, are monologues. What we as preachers hope will happen is that monologue leaves here and it goes out into the world. It becomes a dialogue. For those of you that have been here for a while, you know that you've heard me tell the story. And for those of you who haven't been here for a while, I'll retell the story. In Heidelberg, Germany in 1991, I began to decide that I was being called into this future that I have found here in Colorado Springs and in Hilltop. God gave me a gift. God gave me the gift of an army full colonel who would also go to the same worship services I would go to, and he was the son of a Methodist pastor. And on Monday morning, he would come upstairs, and we would talk about the Bible. We would talk about the previous day's sermon for 15, 20 minutes over bagels and coffee. What had started off as a monologue, a one-to-many conversation, became to some extent a one-to-one, and then but over time, the nature of that, it became a many-to-many conversation. And that's part of the beauty of the social media in general, is it becomes a many-to-many opportunity for us to share information back and forth. Hashtagging. What on earth does that have to do with what's going on here? Jesus is in the midst of a conflict. He's in the midst of being harassed. He's being challenged in what it is that he's saying and where his message is coming from. It's coming from multiple levels. It's not any one level all by itself. There are the traditionalists who don't find Jesus to be particularly appealing. There are the non-traditionalists who don't find Jesus particularly appealing. But somehow Jesus gets appeal with those that group is missing out on. That group loses. And so often, particularly in Mark, but often in the Bible, we get the religious authorities. It's sort of a little shorthand for opposition to Jesus. Okay? They've got their silo, Jesus has got his silo, and ever the twain shall meet. Well, the reality is, in this particular passage, you get this: one of the scribes came near and heard them disputing one another. So he's listening, he's paying attention to what's going on. And then they have this very positive dialogue where people that are normally in opposition to Jesus, and Jesus is normally in opposition to them, they're able to reach some kind of common ground, some kind of common understanding of what's going on. What might their hashtag have been? It might have been about love and mercy. Last night we did a wedding here. And my theme whenever I do wedding sermonettes is about 90 seconds. It's distilled. It's a distilled sermon. I've got 12, 14 people standing here. And I don't want to, I can't preach too long on the subject. And I often go to the idea of what love is all about. And I sort of reject the idea that love is only eros, it's only erotic, it's only sensual. And I reject the idea that love is only about brotherly love, Philadelphia, philios, that love. And I instead go to the idea of God's love is really this idea of agape love. God's love, which is big, sloppy, bigger than we can ever imagine it. And that idea of the Greek word agape comes out of our understanding of the Old Testament. God's chesed, God's, and it could be read mercy, it could be read God's love. But this, the idea that is that what Jesus represents in this world, if you want to make a hashtag out of it, would be love and mercy. That's the lens by which we would be invited to understand God's message for us. So the question is, what would Jesus say about Twitter? I would think he'd say the same thing about Twitter that Martin Luther said about the printing press. I'm prepared to use that in such a way that I'm going to make God's kingdom just a little larger, just a little bit more close. What does Jesus say to the scribe when they have this conversation? You're not far from the kingdom. You're not far from the kingdom. Why? Because he understands that God's message, as manifested by this distilled element of the message standing there in front of him, called Jesus, is pointing back to the Torah. And he decomplexifies it. He gets it to a place where the real essence of who God is and what God calls us to do in the world is to show love. The wedding ceremony last night, I invited people to go show love to the world, to those in which love is a stranger. Love is a stranger. And you know what? There are a lot of people out there in that world to which love is a stranger. What would Jesus say about Twitter? I would say he would say, use it in order to make the kingdom just a little bit larger. Use it and understand, and Facebook and Pinterest and whatever else that's out there. Use all of them, just as Martin Luther used the printing press, in order to make the kingdom a little bit larger. And use it in such a way as to show that God's message is one of love, and God's message is one about mercy. And don't hesitate to tweet that and send that out to everybody that's around you and tell them about that. Let us be an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we really don't know what you would say about Twitter any more than we would know about what you say about the printing press, except that we do know there was fruitfulness from Martin Luther. We know that there was fruitfulness from his questioning of the nature of how the church understood itself to be. Lord, we ask that you bless us today. Let us be open to the idea of the fact that we can continue to grow in your kingdom. Let us be open to the idea of the fact that we can grow into your kingdom by understanding that love made visible to us in Jesus, and mercy made visible to us by his willingness to forgive those who did not understand him, those who actually killed him on the cross, is important to us. Let us be that kind of people that understands God's love and mercy. And all of God's children say, Amen. Please stand as you were able. And we're going to follow. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.